Earlier this year, as the legislature was just beginning its session, Senate Leader Phil Berger stood before the media to explain what he hoped to accomplish. Not surprisingly, much of his efforts were going to be focused on education.
The goal, obviously, is to make sure that our kids have every opportunity to succeed in their educational environment, but also in life. And right now, our public education system is failing too many of our students, and we need significant improvement there.
Berger had come to the General Assembly 14 years ago as a small-town attorney from Rockingham County. He was now arguably the most powerful legislator in Raleigh, but he had yet to pass his education overhaul. By January of this year, everything was in his favor. A Republican, Pat McCrory, now occupied the governor's mansion. A former mayor of Charlotte, McCrory came to Raleigh without a well-defined education policy. That was fine with Berger because he was more than happy to fill the void and pass his plan. That doesn't mean Democrats like Senator Josh Stein didn't try to stop him.
This is a radical policy change to K-12 education. We didn't debate it once. It's in this budget. That is wrong.
To understand Berger's education reform efforts, it's important to grasp the basic philosophical differences between the parties when it comes to education policy. Democrats had, for decades, been elected with the help of teachers, specifically the North Carolina Association of Educators. They'd also enacted strict state control of public schools and had slowly and steadily spent more money, granted teachers job protection, and raised teacher salaries. This got the state up to the national average for teacher salaries by 2008 and number two among southern states. Along the way, Democrats had dismissed or buried any reform efforts proposed by Republicans. Many veteran Republican legislators, meanwhile, looked out of their office windows across the Halifax Mall and saw a building they derisively called the Pink Palace. The Department of Public Instruction building is noticeably nicer and newer than most government buildings, and it stands as a monument, Republicans feel, to a bloated, inflexible education establishment. That was what Berger and his colleagues wanted to address, and 2013 was their year to do it.
They did it all at once.
Terry Stoops is the director of education studies at the conservative John Locke Foundation.
They don't get style points for it, but the number of reforms that were passed received some awe from some of my colleagues in other states that said, I can't believe that North Carolina was able to do all that in 1 year, and in particular, the elimination of the master's degree supplement.
That master's degree supplement is a symbol of the larger battle over public education. It gave salary bumps to teachers who earned advanced degrees, something Republicans argued simply doesn't exist in the private sector. So they eliminated it, making North Carolina the first and only state in the country ever to take that master's salary increase away. But that's just one reform. Teacher tenure is gone. So is the cap on class size in the primary grades. The Teaching Fellows program that gave college scholarships to aspiring teachers was zeroed out of the budget, replaced by an expanded program run by Teach for America. A private school voucher program was enacted, as was charter school expansion. All of the reforms, says Stoops, goes back to a basic Republican philosophy.
There's a movement against the one-size-fits-all system and the centrally controlled system from Raleigh, giving local districts more autonomy. And so that seems to me to be a more free market, more entrepreneurial approach to not only paying teachers, but structuring the public school system.
When the dust cleared and the bills became laws, many teachers were stunned. Thousands crowded the Halifax Mall back in July to protest. Smaller groups shadowed Governor Pat McCrory's appearances. And earlier this month, teachers held walk-ins outside their school buildings.
Spread the red! Spread the red!
Newspaper op-eds joined in, slamming the Republicans for a so-called race to the bottom. A poll from Elon University in September showed that 80% of those surveyed thought teachers were underpaid, just 2% thought they were overpaid. Republicans fought back, mostly blaming the media for misrepresenting the reforms.
I need to let you know that funding for K through 12 has not been cut. Now, if you've heard the media reports, you'd think funding for K through 12 has been cut. It has not been cut.
We put the money there, and most school systems chose to put it in the classroom with the teaching positions. But we've heard so much about that that I get tired of hearing how we devastated education.
That was Governor Pat McCrory and State Senator Jerry Tillman, the chair of the Legislative Oversight Committee on Education. But some Republicans have become more measured in their response. Rob Bryan is a first-term state representative from Mecklenburg County who sits on that Education Oversight Committee.
But when you take away tenure, you know, anytime you sort of put a stick, you'd like to put a counter carrot out in front. And I think there was some sense that some people felt like, well, gee, there was a stick this year, no more tenure, but there wasn't much of a carrot.
Bryan says the carrots are coming in the form of a merit pay system for teachers. Other Republicans are quietly looking for money to try to give teachers a small raise next year, most likely taking it from the university system budget. Even Governor McCrory has struck a more empathetic tone of late.
I think there are legitimate concerns being expressed by teachers and by many other people in academia. I'm here to listen and also give feedback. But my goal is to have recommendations, not just declare what the problem is, but declare the solutions.
That acknowledgement and whatever slight salary increase might be coming may be too little too late for many teachers who feel their profession has been permanently devalued. Jennifer Spivey is a science teacher at South Columbus High School in Tabor City.
You know, why should I stay in North Carolina? North Carolina wants to be very competitive in the education market nationally, but they're not being competitive and attracting the people that they need to attract. And it's really hard to stay. Like, there's no wonder that there's other states moving ahead of us, progressive, because we're just not keeping up with the times as far as happy teachers make happy classrooms.
North Carolina currently ranks 46th in the nation in average teacher salary, and is number one in the decline in educator pay over the last 10 years. Even more startling, North Carolina now ranks 11 of 12 southern states, and in last place among states that contain the word Carolina in their name. And Spivey, in Columbus County, can practically, as they say, see South Carolina from her house, or more accurately, from her parents' house.
Can't afford to move out. I'm glad my mama cooks dinner every night, because I wouldn't be able to afford to live if I didn't.
And how much more could she make a year in South Carolina? Spivey has done the numbers.
$17,000 more. For my levels of experience and my master pay, it'd be $17,000. And then a coaching supplement on top of that, because I coach cheerleading. I mean, that's 55% of my salary now.
Spivey says she'll make her decision on whether to stay or go sometime this spring, but she's leaning toward going. If enough of her colleagues decide to follow her, it will have a significant impact on the future of teaching in North Carolina. That's a topic we'll explore more fully tomorrow. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.